spread palms, branches, and clothing for Jesus to ride upon as he entered into that city. I also touched on the road he came upon as he entered his ministry in the days of John the Baptist. And here, this is Palm Sunday, him coming into his ministry here. I would like to talk about these roads again and some other roads that connect together and complete the road that Christ paved to heaven. I'll be comparing the progressive paving of a road that has a beginning point and an ending point with defined points of interest between to that of Jesus' life. You know how we take a trip and we may go from here to there and we have our stopping points, don't we, along the way till we reach that destination. That's kind of the nature of the message this morning. Jesus' life here on earth had a beginning point. It had clearly defined progressional points of reference along the way and ends with a bridge that extends to heaven. Jesus saith unto him in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We will look at Jesus' way to heaven like various pieces of paved road. I'm going to try today to encourage your hearts to see this in full, the resurrection and what that is, as well as other parts of Christ's life and how they connect. I'm going to use metaphors, similes, colors, pictures, everything to just revolve your mind around this thought. Because I believe Christ gave us all these things. Everything, everything in this world speaks of him. You need to listen. You need to hear. You need to absorb it all. You know, when traveling from a point to point along our country roadways, it involves various types of pavement along the way, doesn't it? Sometimes it can be a transition from a single lane to multi-lane, or perhaps from concrete to asphalt, or asphalt to gravel, or even dirt or sand sometimes. Other times there may not be a change in the pavement itself, but a clear change in the condition of the road. You know, sometimes we have a 15-passenger van, and you fathers will understand this. The moms and children just totally trust us and when we're going along, you know. And sometimes it is, you know, especially when you got a big van and they're tall and the wind's blowing, and it seems like whenever we went on vacation, the wind blows. And man, I just feel like this van's going to blow over at some point, you know. Or you get on that road and it starts, all of a sudden the van starts shaking. Well, a 15-passenger van has a long wheelbase. And sometimes the road just has that perfect marks in the road, and you are for sure a tire's gone bad. Oh. And then all of a sudden you hit this piece of road. Boom, man, now it's like glass after what you just went through. It's like, whew, glad it wasn't a tire. You guys are all shaking your head. You know what that feels like. Today's message will see defined points of Jesus' life here on the earth. And with each defined point along the way, we're going to see a very unique pre-paved roadways for him. I want you to understand these are pre-paved for him that are set before Jesus. This pre-pavement is nothing less than the will of the Father for him to go. Jesus walked that pavement perfectly in total obedience, and in so doing, and proof by his resurrection, he provided a bridge of restoration, a way of salvation from the judgment of sin unto eternity in hell, a gap that was impossible, that is impossible for man to span. That bridge was finished at his resurrection. A bridge that can only be accessed by an invitation, his invitation, for you to be saved. So I want to set everything aside in your life. I know you got things going on. Set it aside. It's a timeless state of mind. Enjoy the amazing unfolding plan of our masterful God. Worship him today. Hear his voice. obey his leading as I present the message, the Resurrection Bridge. Father, oh Lord God, may your Holy Spirit work in our lives today. May everything disappear, and may we see Jesus. May we see him in his glory, in the fullness of his life on this earth, in the meaning and the importance of the resurrection today. May we see it like we've never seen it before. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I chose four defining moments of Jesus' life to look at with the thought of a road in mind. And we see here, first one, the road leading to his birth, the road leading to his ministry, the road leading to the cross, and the road or bridge that he constructed behind him after his resurrection. All of these defined points of Jesus' life are progressive preparations. They're heavenly announced, each one of them. A prepared road leading to a final invitation to the only road whereby we escape the judgment of sin to an eternal hell. It is the road where we can come before God to know him and to live with him forever in a perfect place with no sin or temptation of it again forever. That is hard for us to understand because we live in this sinful world. We battle with sin in our life. You know, the first three roads God paved for Jesus to walk on, they were pre-paved. Just like as we travel, there's a road that's pre-paved for us. Jesus, in obedience, complete obedience, walked those roads for us. There was a purpose in them. Each road was a road of difficulty that he walked in complete obedience to God. He only did what the Father told him to do. You want to know what sinlessness is? Is only do what God says to do all your life. Jesus is the only one who could do that and did that. The final road he paved behind him. It is this resurrection road whereby we find access to God. It's a road that makes no sense for anyone not to travel. It makes no sense for anybody not to travel this road. It is a road that, if not traveled, dishonors God, rejects his love for you. It leaves you dead in your trespasses and sins to suffer the wrath of God and eternal judgment in the torments of hell. That's how important Jesus' life is. But it is a road of your choice. However, should you decide to travel God's resurrection road, you will find that it is a road in opposition to the road of this world system. In the likeness of Jesus, it will seek to persecute you and destroy you, but it cannot overtake you because you have overcome and are victorious. If we were to put a name to that resurrection bridge, it wouldn't be the Baltimore Bridge. It would be called the Victory Bridge. It is a road that looks to a day ahead. It is a road of faith and patience. Listen to me, Christian, it's not an easy road. It's also a road that is to be traveled with anticipation. Listen to me now. This is how you are to travel this road if you're a Christian. Looking forward unto the day when this life's temporal troubles will seem so small compared to the unfathomable eternal joys prepared for us in heaven. You need to keep that in mind, folks. Keep that in your mind. Let's quickly look at the first three roads that Jesus had to travel on in order to provide a road for mankind to God. The first road was his birth. It was announced with great wonder, joy, and rejoicing, Matthew 1:20. But while he, Joseph, speaking of Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What an announcement to him. Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What a message to Mary. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. A message to the kings. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, to the shepherds. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What an announcement to her. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. All this amazing announcement, yet the road ahead that was prepared for Jesus coming to the earth was one of humility. Born of a woman in low estate, of a low estate. For you who are carrying, born when away from home traveling. Not even a room to give birth in, but a lowly manger. It's mentioned this morning, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Strips of clothes. The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, left his honored rightful place to come into this world in the most lowliness of manner. The road prepared for him to enter this world was a road of lowliness, that of a servant. He traveled from a place of light and perfectness to a place of darkness and of sin. If I were to put a color to this road, I would color it black. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The first road Jesus trod upon was a road of humility that was laid out for him, that God laid for him. A very low road, you might say. The next road prepared for him was through John the Baptist fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This road was a highway in the desert. It was met with great announcement and excitement. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John 1:15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The next day John seeth coming unto him and saith, see him coming, Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spake. After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto them, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus entered his earthly ministry on a highway prepared in the desert, it says. A dry and thirsty land of pagan Roman rule and a corrupted Jewish religion. John prepares a highway for Jesus through baptizing those who would show fruits of repentance, pointing to and preparing their hearts to receive Christ. And as the highway suggests, it carried much traffic. We read the verse, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins, a great multitude. Coming, John, believing in John. Christ traveled a low road prepared for him at his birth. He traveled a highway in a desert prepared for him as he entered his ministerial work. You know, the key aspect of this ministerial work is work. If I were to color this road, I would color it blue. It was the blue-collar work, you might say. It was on the production floor, hands-on, the difficult work of the ministry. The next road that was prepared for him was the road leading to the cross. The entering of that road came with much excitement, like the previous two roads. The people physically strawled the way with branches, palms, and their clothes. They cried. And they that went before him and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Like all other roads, it was met not only with human announcement, but also with heavenly announcement. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. Jesus speaking. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Listen to this. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. The road that people were laying down was that in their minds was a carpet for a king. A king coming into his throne. Hosanna! But it was not time for him to come as the lion of the king of Judah yet. Palm Sunday was an entrance of the Lamb of God. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Now skipping to verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The carpet laid out for Jesus on Palm Sunday was truly, if I was going to color it, a red carpet. It was a carpet denoting the shed blood of a sacrifice for our sins. It was his blood and our sin to be offered once and for all. These are the pavements of Jesus' life that were prepared ahead of him by his Father. A road of lowliness, a black road. A highway of ministry, a blue road. A blood-stained carpet of his sacrifice, a red road. The last road is different from the other three. The first three roads, God the Father ordained for Jesus to walk upon. He was the only one who could truly walk that road. The last road, Jesus stands on the other side of that road that he made as a result of obedience to the first three roads that he traveled. That road was made for us to walk on. It was prepared for us. What a road. It is the bridge, if you look at this. It's the bridge over our sin, hell, and the wrath of God. It is a salvation road. It's a bridge. A road that we must choose to or not to be obedient to. Now I'm going to change. I'm going to have another, not sure if it's the right word, metaphor. Maybe. I'd like to think of this road or is this bridge like a white runner rolled down the center of an aisle for the bride to walk on to meet the groom ceremonially to be with him forever that day forward. When Jesus was resurrected, that carpet was rolled out for his bride, the church. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no way to God. We would be lost forever with no hope. That's how important the resurrection is. Without the resurrection, we have no way to heaven. But he did rise from the grave. He is forever seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the call to receive his bride. That ceremony will be the rapture of his church one day. Now we'll be having a wedding soon between Abby and Christian. I want to bring out what the spiritual application of what that wedding represents. Most people, when we read it in the Bible, we see how people go through things, they get excited, but don't even realize what in the world's going on, really going on. Like many through the Bible, they participate and have excitement of what they are doing without realizing the true meaning of what they are doing. Marriage, when received in the flesh, will lead to hardness of the heart. It will rely simply on human strength. It will degrade, and it will ultimately fail. Even if you never get a divorce, you can have a miserable marriage all your life. It's a failure. That's not what marriage is about. But when received in the Spirit and lived in the Spirit, it is a marriage that is powerful to overcome everything. It is really the only true hope of marriage. And it's representative of Christ and his church. Let's look at a few things. It all starts with an interest, doesn't it? There's got to be some kind of interest. Jesus approaches everybody, let me tell you, in this world. He is an attraction for every person ever born into this world. He is their salvation. He is the groom. He is the perfect one. He came seeking a wife among the most undeserving mankind. He loved us before we would ever love him with any amount. And he would love us with a love beyond human understanding. Agape love, unconditional love. You know, I witnessed something very interesting in the relationships of specifically my girls, I look for a guy who's just overwhelmed with her. It's a miracle. It's really a picture of, you know, you think about Christ. There's absolutely no reason why Christ would come and love. It's an understanding. And I hope girls, as they see a guy who come is just all over in love with them, would see that. It's just, that's an understandable, and feel that, like the church feels that from Christ. It's a supernatural thing, because I sit there and I think about it. I think, man, you know, I got a good wife. I really like her. She is really something. But then I might look and I think, who would ever marry that? Somebody does. Somebody does, because they just fall in love. You know, Disney has a word for it. I think it's pretty good. Twitter painted. I look for them to be Twitter painted. If they're not Twitter painted, they ain't the right one. It's a miraculous thing. It's a pointing of Christ. Christ came like that to us. It's the bride. How do we understand that? We can't. But we accept it. He seeks us out. You know, it's tradition for the boy to ask the girl out. Now, I know these days that things happen. Things happen in this world that shouldn't be. But it is the choice of the girl to pursue. You know, isn't that the way it is? The guy, he's like, yeah, you got to ask her out, you know. She's like, she's not, he has to ask her. And it's like biblical picture. But it's the choice of the girl to pursue, to say yes or no. And it's the man who proposes to the girl. And it's a personal proposal. Could you imagine any other kind of proposal? Hey, Mom, would you call so-and-so and ask her if she'll marry me? You know, or bring your family along and will you marry my family? No. Her and him. That's what salvation is. When you meet him, and it's just you and him, and he asks you, will you trust me as my Savior, as your Savior? And you got a choice. Yes, I will. Or no, I won't. In a proposal, there's a ring involved, isn't there? An engagement ring. The ring is a symbol of commitment. At that point, a wedding is arranged. The groom prepares a place. The woman prepares for the wedding to properly present herself as an adorned bride to walk down to meet her groom, to be forever with him. Jesus offers salvation. Should we accept, we receive the token of his commitment by the giving of the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to assure us, to purify us, to remind us of the day when we will be with him forever. John 14:6, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what that engagement ring says. She prepares. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to himself. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's how we're going to be presenting him, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. That is a picture of the bride, of her coming to the wedding. He goes to make provision. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming back, folks, to receive his bride, those who have trusted him. There will be a day, a wedding day, when he comes out of his Father's chamber unto the heaven side of that white runner. There'll be a wedding song, the trump of God. He will be visible to his bride. And she approaches him to the heaven side when he takes her to be forever with him. It's actually a beautiful picture of the rapture. In humility, Christ traveled the black road to a sinful world. By example, he traveled the blue-collar road of his ministerial work, proving himself as a worthy provider. In love, he traveled a crimson, blood-filled road, unquestionably proving perfect love for us. In full proof, he was resurrected, providing a white runner, putting on, giving us a white robe of his righteousness to come before him. A wedding robe of pure white to be forever with him in heaven at that day when he will receive his bride. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and the pianist coming to play. The first question is, have you accepted Christ's proposal of salvation? Has he made that proposal to you? You know it was him. You know that's what you need to do to trust him as your Savior. Are you looking for his return, where you will walk that aisle that he has completed for you at his resurrection? Or have you delayed to say yes to his proposal? Are you waiting? Waiting to vote constitutes a no vote. It's not yes until you say no. It's no until you say yes. You are dead in your trespasses and sins to be judged and to cast into a lake of fire. You're refusing that bridge that he's made for you, that white runner he's rolled out for you. You're saying no to him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Dear Christian, Jesus was obedient to a road that the Father laid out for him. A humble road, a difficult work, a work that cost him his life, but a life that provided a road of eternal life to anyone who would, by faith, turn to him. If you are saved, are you living that resurrection road? Are you living in humility? Are you doing the work of the ministry, serving others? Are you giving up your life that others may be saved and encouraged in serving the Lord? And let me ask you a big question, Christian. Do people see your life and your works, and are they compelled to trust Christ as their Savior? Does your life point to Christ? Christ did all that. We are not greater than the Master. That's how we are to be. I encourage you today, live, Christian, live that resurrected life. And if you're not saved, all you got to do is in your heart of hearts ask God to save you, and then make it known. Come to me and let me know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Amen. Just pray that the Lord stirred your heart today. Like, you see how important that resurrection is. It was all part of a plan. The final piece. Because he did everything before that. that he could build that bridge. Without that bridge, you see what we're doomed to. And we're encouraged to live a life like Jesus lived in those manners. Father, thank you for your blessed word today. Bless each family. Thank you for all who's come. May you've touched their hearts. May you've reached out and shown how much you love us. May we today reach back to you and say, I love you. And desire to be everything we can be, that others might be saved. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.